Good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of The Drive here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hello on KHDK, on the app, on the stream, on YouTube. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Everybody's here.
Hi, YouTubes.
Buddy Hield here. Buddy?
Buddy Hield.
Buddy wants more buckets.
Must be close to King season because King's social media is just, they're raring up, ready to go.
Are they breaking down the big win over, is it Melbourne? The Americanized wear. Melbourne?
Hey, I like the,
Melbourne.
I like the, first off, Lauren, you got to hit a free throw for all those prizes, man. I'm watching last night, and she answered. They had a dartboard, and they had a signed jersey, and they had all this stuff, and they moved her all the way to the free throw, and that made my field goal kick look amazing.
I booed her.
Then they put her right at the to lay it up. Secondly, I really love the guy that you guys brought on from Australia. First off, amazing. Is it Liam?
Yeah.
Of course. So Liam comes on. And I feel like 90% of guys in Australia are named Liam.
Right? Yeah, but the second he spoke, I was just like,
right,
just mesmerized.
Yep.
Dude, hello, G-Man. I'm like, wait, how did you do that?
That phraseology they use is so amazing.
Yes.
At one point, he called Downtown Commons a precinct.
Yes.
I was like, that's the greatest.
But in a charming way.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was a blast.
Yeah. So is that what social media, King's social media is all about? The big win preseason?
Yeah.
3-2 record.
Precinct.
All things good?
No, everyone's, buddy's leaving. You know, I'm not going to make fun of.
Fine.
I'm
not
going to. Right? See, nobody wants you anyways. I'm not going to, I think the sports radio thing to do be like, fans, you got to calm down. I mean, come. I can't do that. I understand why people are scared here because we're Sacramento. We've been through so much, and I don't blame them. But, like, they're going to get it done. So, like, everyone, I'm not saying everyone chill, like, in a condescending way. I'm saying friends and family who I completely understand why you feel this way. I'm just here to tell you they're going to get it done. He's not leaving. They're going to sign a contract. It might be this week. It might be at the end of the year. And, yes, this summer, that might be worrisome because you'll have this whole year where we have something to talk about. But this is a negotiation.
I am 99% of the time in that realm. Like,
yeah,
it's fine. Relax. I hate the look. I hated it.
Because
I think it will get done too.
Right.
Why do we have to go through a few punches to the face for it?
Well, then that's on Buddy Hield, though.
100%
right.
Agree.
Like, that's on Buddy.
And it's not an embarrassing offer.
No, it's not an insulting offer either.
Or, right. Whatever the phrasing is.
Right. No, same thing.
And yeah, they want you.
Right. And they've been clear about it. Kings haven't said anything other than we want Buddy back and he'll be a King. We're going to make it work. Buddy's negotiating through the media. And I'm very careful about, especially people that deserve it, and especially people like Buddy who've been great in the community. Like, I don't really want to blame or fault somebody for wanting their money. Willie Cauley-Stein, I'll fault him all day long because he didn't deserve it. Mm. Buddy does. But, dude, come on, man. You're negotiating through the media. This is becoming a thing. This is a weight on the fans. This is a weight on the organization. Like, just take it behind the scenes and get it done.
Yeah.
And you will. And it will happen. But, I don't know. Here's the other thing. I know we got to do Morning Brew, right? But, they say be compelling, be controversial, have hot takes, right? Think about a hot take for a couple of days now.
Oh, he's got one?
Yeah.
You serving it up now?
Yeah. But this is like, I'm nervous about saying this because I know I'm going to get killed for this. But I think there's a lot of people that will like silently nod their heads in their car or at home. I think in retrospect, after looking back years later, I don't think Limp Bizkit was that bad. Like, they weren't here that bad.
Welcome back to The Drive.
It's just my job.
It's time for the Morning Brew. Now, here's Carmichael Day.
Jason.
Farrell going for another one. Yogi Farrell from downtown is on fire. He hasn't missed. He's 5 for 5. He now has 17 first half points. He and Marvin Bagley have combined for 35 of Sacramento's 53.
Honestly, I don't even know why we're going to have Marcos, Greg Papa, the Brew,
right?
Four down territory.
Yeah.
Let's debate this hot take.
I'm just saying, it's easy to pile on him. And by the way, 80% of the music sucks. I'm just saying, I was going through this random playlist on the way in the other day. It's like, oh, I like that Break Stuff song. That's okay. Behind Blue Eyes, that was good, except for that dumb Speak and Spell bridge. I like Nookie. I mean, it's kind of cool. You know, it's Anyways, it's easy to pile on Limp Bizkit. I'm here to say Limp Bizkit served their purpose.
There you go.
It's fine.
The hottest of takes.
The hottest of takes.
You know who else served their purpose?
Who?
Melbourne United.
Yes,
hey,
it did. Melbourne. For a little while, they weren't the greatest guests.
Right. They weren't at all.
Creating a little bit of problem in the precinct.
Right. They were like, we're not afraid of you. We're going to score baskets and you can't defend us. Right? Right? Right?
Can we go back and get a little more from Melbourne? What else did they say?
Your defense, we will tell you defense down under where we have real defense. You can get elbow in the face. See?
It's getting worse.
No, I feel like it's getting better.
We defend baskets on waves.
Wait, hold on. That's Irish, dude. That was
same thing. Haven't you seen an Irish Australian before?
They're neighbors.
Yes.
Right?
Clearly.
I did learn this, though, from an Australian friend of mine. If you ever see anybody who's Australian and you want to talk to them, don't do the shrimp on a Barbie thing. That's played out. But at some point during the conversation, mix in, you know, Australia, New Zealand, exactly the same thing. They love that. Oh, it's amazing.
It. Yeah.
Dude, it was weird. Like they were up until, about midway through the second. I was like, come on.
Yeah, what's going on?
What are you doing? And then,
12 straight makes in the third quarter stretches it like a 4-point game to 30.
30. Yeah. 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 I'm just glad, Buddy got hit in the mouth. I'm like, take everybody out.
Yeah.
Please sit everybody down. That's all I cared about. I didn't even care about the win. Just everybody be healthy and we're good.
I know we will get obviously more into this and more into Buddy Hield, but one thing to think about is Yogi. I mean, he had a great preseason. I don't know where he plays, if he plays. He can play.
He can.
I don't know that he will.
He's like third point guard. And
he's a two guard. But
right,
he's third two guard for sure.
Yeah.
Not fourth.
All right. Hopefully there's no injuries.
Yes.
If there is, though, he's a good guy to have on your roster.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thursday Night Football happens tonight.
Two receivers right, two to the left. Mahomes holding it, stepping up. He's going to fire it late. He's got Tyreek Hill near side. Touchdown, Kansas City.
That's a good accent, too.
That's a great accent.
Yeah.
By the way, not a huge fan of him ripping off Greg Papa. But whatever, we'll let it go.
Yeah.
That's what I say now.
When has Mitch Holthus ever done that before? He just took that from Greg.
Hey, can I say this about tonight's game? And I know we'll talk about this at 6:35. So, super easy game to predict, no problem. Chiefs are going
Does that show up tomorrow, maybe? Maybe.
I think.
You should put it in your picks tomorrow.
I might get it right. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but yeah. I'm not sure. Not like I was a couple weeks ago.
All of a sudden, there's doubt.
Right.
Yeah. The way both teams are going. Mm. And then baseball, it's now game four tonight. Mm.
It gives everybody a day off and kind of an opportunity to collect ourselves before game four. It changes our pitching a little bit. How beneficial it is probably easier to answer after I see how guys perform and how the pitching plays out.
Yeah, rain out yesterday, so they're going to play every day now the rest of the way, whether this goes quickly and the Astros win in five or if it's extended to the weekend. But I think it gives the Astros a pretty nice advantage to get their best arms an extra day.
And, listen, this isn't like a make or break. It's not a deciding game, but this is a must win for the Yankees.
It's
right?
pretty important.
They
got
to win this thing. Also, I know we're going to break here. Totally wanted to remember this coming in. Melo Trimble on the Australian team.
Yes.
I remember Melo Trimble.
You do?
Absolutely.
I did not.
No, I remember Melo Trimble from he played in the ACC. I swear it's Maryland.
Okay.
But yeah,
I didn't remember him.
I think probably it's because it was Melo. I also remember Fab Melo.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about Melos that stick in my head. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Wait, did
we lost Fab Melo.
No.
Yeah, probably 3 years ago.
What? How did I miss that? Fab Melo, Syracuse?
Yeah, he was under 30, I think, or
oh my
late
goodness.
30, late 20s, maybe.
I don't know how I missed that.
I don't remember the cause.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyways.
Still RIP.
RIP, yes. Yeah. And then period, and then new paragraph, because there's no segue out of that. Melo Trimble, though.
Yes.
I remember him. Also, how about Chris Golding getting 30 points against an NBA team? He gets to take that back home.
He does.
I don't know why. I was, happy for these guys.
Take that with you.
Especially because they lost.
Well, people are happy for Bradley Beal. Mm. He signed a major, major contract extension. Is there any parallel there with Buddy Hield?
What?
A lot of Buddy Hield conversation as well. Marcos Bertone to talk MLS coming to Sacramento. Greg Papa, the voice of the Niners. It's a big Thursday show of The Drive.
This is Sports 1140 KHTK. We do sports.
Welcome back here to The Drive. Jason Ross, Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars. Again, coming up, Marcos Bertone. Man, a lot of people, Dave, at the game last night talking about MLS in Sacramento.
I heard G-Man talking about it, as a matter of fact.
G-Man's so dialed into the community.
Love him.
I mean,
love him.
It's the greatest. And, again, more of the consensus was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. And there's a ton of soccer fans.
Sure.
And others like, man, look what this. And our friend Liam, he's like, talking about the precinct, what it's going to do down there.
Right.
He actually walked around and was asking questions even off air. So is it going to be down by the river and down by the, you know, and going into that and the rail yards and
hey,
stuff.
Hey, there's a little river.
The river.
I like that.
I like you, man.
It's an awesome time.
Yes.
It's a really cool time.
So Marcos Bertone will join us from the B at 7:30. Also at 8, the voice of the undefeated 49ers. He's undefeated as well.
Yes, he is.
Greg,
we'll remind him of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, overnight, one of the top stories here, and we're going to get a lot more into this, obviously, today throughout the show, Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Sharing his frustration with where his Kings contract talks are at the moment.
Right.
Oh, by the way, overnight, early this morning, whenever this happened, Bradley Beal has just signed a contract extension, Dave. 2 years, $72 million max extension. He's already been paid.
Sure.
But he adds two more onto the top of his contract with a player option after the 2022 season. He would be eligible to sign the biggest deal in league history if he declines the 2022-23 option, which would be 5 years, $266 million.
Wow.
For Bradley Beal, a good player.
It's a lot of money.
Top 25 player. Ish?
Sure.
30?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
he's been an all-star. He's good.
That's fine.
But what's happening here is this becoming, the next quarterback's up, he's pretty good, he becomes the highest paid player. Mike Conley at one point was the highest paid player in the league. Part of the problem of what is happening around the league is guys changing teams. You can't quite get the same amount of money when you do change teams.
That's right.
And so Mike Conley, all those years in Memphis, was a good player, got the highest paid player, the highest paid, you know, numbers. Steph Curry can live in a neighborhood that others can't.
Right.
And now Bradley Beal, if this all works out, can really be paid. So do you see any parallels in career, at least, between Bradley Beal and Buddy Hield?
Bradley Beal is better, and he's younger.
Actually, I think they're the same,
which
is interesting, right? Yeah. Do I have it right? Do we even know what? How old is Buddy? 40?
Right. It was a Buddy's 26, Bradley Beal's 25. That's at least what I have. But,
okay.
Well, let's call that a wash. Yeah. But
he's played more.
I think a lot of people would find it surprising that Bradley Beal is younger than Buddy Hield, considering how long Beal's been in. Let's just look at last year. I'll take forget cumulative, because then it's really not terribly close. But let's take a look at last year, which is by far Buddy's best year. Beal outscored him by 5 points a game. That's significant. And part of that's John Wall being out. You have to allow for that. Beal had more points. Beal had more blocks, for what it's worth. Beal had over double the steals. Beal had over double the assists. They had the exact same amount of rebounds. Buddy Hield is a better percentage shooter, but not by a ton. But he is more efficient, and he's certainly more efficient, a full 7% from the three-point line. And he made more three-pointers, but he made more three-pointers by 56.
Who did, Buddy?
Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So you had, where is it here? Three-pointers made to I was looking at attempts. Sorry. It was 70 more. 278 to 209, three-pointers made. So my point is this. The reason I'm saying it like that is because when I saw the Beal news break, it was, oh, my God, well, Bradley Beal's making this, then Buddy Hield's worth more. No, he's not. Not if you look at scale. He's not at all.
Can Buddy then – okay, so I'm looking at maybe where the reference is getting out of the rookie contract into that first extension.
Mm-hmm.
So Beal had his rookie numbers like you normally get to.
Yeah.
Then he did jump to 22, which is honestly close to – the Kings are roughly in that neighborhood of their offer.
Right.
So he went 22, 23, 25, and now this extension, once this all lays in place, we'll keep going and escalating. I don't think it's a crazy neighborhood for the Kings to offer to Buddy Hield.
Right now, the deal on the table is a little over $22 million a year for Buddy Hield. 4 years, $90 million. There's the Hield and his camp, from what we read, want 4-110. And so you think, okay, well, let's make this simple. Let's settle in the middle. But this is not – this is not as simple as it sounds. I understand the knee-jerk reaction. I completely get it, which is we don't get free agents. You want them to be part of the core. You don't want to piss everybody off. You want to build that culture. Give them the money. You're only talking about a $20 million difference. Give them the money. I get that. But let me here's a picture we can paint for everybody of if they're not smart about this. It's let's fast forward 3 years from now. Buddy has 4 years and 110. That's on the books. Then you're going to go next summer. Well, I guess that would be then. Yeah, then next summer you're going to go with Bogdan Bogdanovic. And that salary, if Bogey holds out till the summer, which he certainly will, that salary is going to be around 4 years, 73. That's what scale would be for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Okay, so now you have Harrison Barnes, Buddy Hield, both making well into the $20 million range per year. Bogey's almost at 20. You're talking about like $18 million. And then next summer, they also have to figure out De'Aaron Fox as well. And De'Aaron Fox is almost certainly going to get the max. 5 year, $181 million. That's if the cap sticks where it is, right, which it probably won't. That's well into the $30 million range. And then the following year, Bagley, which will certainly be the same. Now you're talking about two guys making mid-30s, two guys making mid-20s, Bogdan Bogdanovic making almost 20. You haven't made the playoffs yet.
Right. And you better in that run, or you'll become a team that has a lot of good players that are expensive and nothing else. Like, where's nothing. The depth? Like, right now it feels like they have a good team with stars on the rise, with depth. You become the team that that group better be good, or you're moving on from some of those guys,
right,
with the big contracts that you have to trade.
If you can trade them, which you probably can.
Yeah.
But if you can trade them. Like, this is a negotiation, and the Kings know this. That's the thing. The Kings are all teams, I guarantee you, have been informed by the NBA, hey, listen, due to all the China stuff, you need to start preparing for a 10-15% drop in the cap, very possible coming up this summer. So this is where, honestly, the MVP of the Kings over the next 3 years is going to be De'Aaron Fox. But the second MVP of this team is probably Ken Catinella, because Ken's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, a lot of numbers they got to crunch. We will go more on this at 7, certainly on the Kings and Buddy Hield, more throughout the show. It is the start of another football week. We preview the Thursday night game, the implications it has for the Raiders, as tonight it's the Chiefs and the Broncos. We'll do that next on The Drive. As we mentioned earlier, Greg Papa will be joining us at 8 o'clock to talk more of the NFL, more about the 49ers. We're going to look at the Week 7 Thursday night game here in a moment, but I wanted you to hear this from Kyle Shanahan going back to D.C.
Yeah.
Face the Redskins. Niners and Redskins this weekend. Niners come in as big favorites there, but a little Q&A here for the coach.
Kyle, what was the best part about coaching in Washington?
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else.
There you go.
Yep. Didn't mince words.
You like that one, Jay, huh?
I just like his honesty because, you know what? It's probably 100% accurate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so.
I think somebody takes the Redskins' job because it's one of 32. And they go, oh, okay.
I'll deal with it. I'll get paid well. If I turn it around, great. If I get fired, okay.
I'll get paid well. If I turn it around, great. I get to break into the ranks of head coach. Hopefully that will help me somewhere else. And no matter what happens, worst case scenario, like even Jay Gruden. I don't think Jay Gruden's a particularly good head coach. He hasn't shown me any reason that he is. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, if he gets hired somewhere else, I'll go, yeah, but he was coaching for Dan Snyder.
Yeah, you could see those restrictions holding guys back, but will Jay Gruden get another head coaching job? I don't see it right now, but
maybe not right now, but man, the NFL is a really big way of recycling. And to be fair, to a lesser extent these days, but you know, for example, Dave Yeager. When Dave Yeager gets his next coaching job, part of the interview process is going to be, well, he got fired, but it was in Sacramento.
Yeah.
You know, that got to be fair, it's the same deal.
Yep. Tonight, Thursday Night Football. I don't know what this game – I really don't know what to think. You kind of said it earlier, Dave, when you get the Chiefs, who appear to be the better team
right, by
far against the Broncos. Well, just a couple weeks ago, the Chiefs were, hey, are they the best team? Look out for the Chiefs. They have the close win against Detroit. They've lost two in a row since. Mm-hmm. And then Denver, man, they may be terrible. Well, they've won a couple in a row. So again, still looks good for the Chiefs, right. But this will be an interesting one if the Broncos can win at home, short week, and that would be huge for the Raiders.
Well, Broncos have wins against the Chargers and Titans, and the Chiefs have lost two in a row. What, the Texans and, well, they just lose to, what was it, the
Colts.
Colts, thank you. Kansas City favored by 3 in Denver, but you got a lot of stuff going on here. First off, you got a real fast-paced Kansas City team, and I always tend to raise an eyebrow when a speed team goes into Denver. Because you have to factor in the altitude. People laugh at that, but it's a thing. You have to factor in the altitude. That's a problem. Also, looks like it will be not cold, but high 40s, low 50s. Cloudy, who knows what's going to happen tonight with the weather, but you have to always look at the weather this time of year in Denver. If Denver wins, it's because it's going to be a sloppy, you know, back and forth type of thing, long field goals, Brandon McManus hero type of stuff, or we might just see the Chiefs steamroll them and get a lot of anger out.
Yeah, and I can't figure out with Kansas City because, you know, Mahomes is still this transcendent talent that we all are just mesmerized to watch, but Tyreek Hill was out until last week, and I know you give him grief, but Sammy Watkins is a factor in what they do. He's out again tonight.
Yeah.
So they have been down some personnel. I don't think they're a great defense, but offensively they should be spectacular, and they've been just okay lately. They're not running at all.
No, they're not. And here's where you really see with Kansas City. We talk about plug and play running games, and that works in certain cities with certain offensive lines. But let's just be honest. They miss Kareem Hunt terribly, you know. I'm aware of the off-field stuff, but LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams – are not Kareem Hunt, and you see flashes in LeSean McCoy where maybe he could be the guy. Damian Williams at times looks like he's one of those dual threat receivers. But I think Tyreek Hill opens up a lot of stuff for them. Let's remember, not only do they have Tyreek Hill, but they also have Travis Kelce, who may be the best tight end in the league, certainly in the top two or three. That's going to help keep the defensive line, especially that Denver line, that's going to help keep them and those linebackers a little bit more honest. And, yeah, Sammy Watkins being out, I mean, whatever. Yeah, yes.
whatever.
I know. It does matter. I just keep going back. That first Sammy Watkins game of the year against Jacksonville, nine catches, 198 yards, 3 touchdowns.
What since?
Since then, combined, in 3 games combined, Sammy Watkins, 9 catches in the first game.
Okay.
14 catches combined.
In 3 other games.
198 yards in the first game. I'm doing my math on the fly here. 165 yards in the last 3 games. 3 touchdowns in the first game. 0 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
That's Sammy Watkins.
And 2 fumbles. Well, it's Sammy Watkins.
And we always kind of say this, what's the more interesting story? If the Chiefs win, it's kind of, back to, all right, they're back, they won. I don't know if they're back, but they won. They beat a team they should. Nice win, established the division.
Right.
I think tomorrow we're going, what is up with the division? Can the Raiders win this division if Denver wins tonight? And then we're also questioning, you know, what is Denver? I don't think we even know what the Chargers are at this point.
No, God, no.
And well, honestly, what are the Raiders? So this was a division that seemed pretty clear to me beforehand. If Denver wins tonight, I think, you know, almost getting to the halfway point, we'd really be wondering about that division.
I completely agree. And if Vic Fangio is turning that team around, right, if they're a legit threat. One more note I thought that was funny on Sammy Watkins. That first game, he was targeted 11 times and he caught 9 passes. Since then, he's caught 14 passes on 27 targets. He's caught passes on almost half, just over half of his. That is horrible.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to get him the ball. Anyways, to your point, can I just run through a couple of teams? And I want you to tell me, we know who they are, we don't know who they are. Okay, because I think this is really interesting. New England Patriots.
We know who they are.
We absolutely know who they are. Buffalo Bills.
You know what? I'm going to give them that we know who they are. I'm going to go with they're a good team. And maybe I'm jumping the gun.
Okay. Jets?
No.
Okay. Like, we know who they are, bad or
no? I don't think we know who they are. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. With Darnold back, I think they might be better.
I think that's completely fair. I'm not going to go through every team. We know what Miami is. Yes. Okay, Baltimore?
No.
No. Cleveland?
Nope.
Nope. Houston?
No.
No. Indianapolis?
I think they're good.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm going to say they're good.
Good. Raiders?
Don't know who they are.
Broncos?
Don't know who they are.
Chargers.
Don't know who they are.
Eagles.
Don't know who they are.
Cowboys.
Don't know who they are.
Let's see. Packers.
I think they're good.
I do too.
Yeah.
Vikings.
Yeah, I think they're good. I'm going to go with I think they're good. Maybe some would say they don't know who they are.
Bears.
I want to say they're good, but I'm going to say I don't know who they are.
I'm with you 100% on that. Lions.
Don't know who they are. Okay,
I don't either. Saints.
I think they're good.
Okay. Panthers.
Can I go with don't know who they are?
Yes, you absolutely can. Niners.
I think they're good.
Seahawks.
Good.
Rams.
I'm going to say good.
Okay.
I'm going to go with good still.
And that really leaves us with Buccaneers, Falcons, Cardinals. Here's the point of that exercise.
Right.
There is a ton of this league, and I have no idea.
Yeah, whether opinions change each week.
Right.
And so that tonight, a Bronco win changes opinions. A Chiefs win. Yeah, kind of thought they'd win. Denver,
sure.
Sorry, you're not as good. Mahomes is the best player on the field. Business as usual. It changes, though, with a Bronco win tonight.
Far more to gain from a Bronco standpoint, far more to lose from a Chiefs standpoint. As you said, if the Chiefs win, it's like, okay, yeah, they went into a bad Denver team and they won. That's fine. Nice win. Way to get off the schneid, but whatever. You should have won. You're favored. Chiefs lose. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Three in a row. There's a problem.
And I think we're talking more about it from the Chiefs' perspective than, hey, is Denver coming on? I think it's just like, well, good win.
Right.
And that's three. That's good. But is anybody buying Denver completely if they win today?
Well, that's who just beat the Cowboys?
Jets.
The Jets. Mm-hmm. So, again, that was all about, oh, my God, the Cowboys have lost three in a row. There is a little bit of, hey, welcome back, Sam Darnold. The Jets are completely – but nobody's like, oh, the Jets.
Yeah. But isn't this good that we – this far in that we – I don't know. I think that's the charm of the NFL.
I agree.
It's, we know, do we know? We don't really know.
This is something the NFL has. This is something that Major League Baseball has. This isn't really something the NBA has.
No, it feels a little different this year in the sense that, I don't know, we probably have a bigger pool of teams that can win the championship.
I agree, but I would say this. So we played six games. That's over a third of the season, five for some teams. So let's just call it a third of the season is gone in the NFL. The equivalent there would be 24, 25. Okay, so at 25 games, aren't we going to know for the most part who's who in the NBA? Not who's going to win the championship, but aren't we going to have a pretty decent idea as to, okay, championship contender, playoff contender, see you next year?
I think so, but I really believe, Dave, that we can probably fairly say 12 teams in the West can be in the top eight.
I agree.
So, in theory, if you get in, you have a chance. Now, that may not be that realistic. You know, if the Kings get in, can they win the championship? Today, I would say I don't see how.
Okay.
But I can see how they get in. I honestly can see how New Orleans gets in. Dallas, sure. I'm not that big of a believer, but if things go right, they play their best, Dallas could be a top eight.
Let me try to put it a different way. Honestly, I wonder if this would work or not. Let me say that I gave you an opportunity to make a one-for-one bet. You bet a dollar, you get a dollar back. And here's the bet. Right now, you have to write down the 16 teams you think are going to make the playoffs in the NBA. In order to win the bet, you can get no more than four wrong combined. So, in other words, you can miss four teams in both conferences. But
four in each?
No. Four and one, two and
okay.
Two.
Four total.
It's whatever. Do you take that bet? Do you feel confident that you could pick the 16 playoff teams and get four or less wrong in the NBA?
Yeah, I would say more confident certainly than the NFL.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But
that would actually be interesting.
That would
exercise.
Be kind of, we should do that.
We will. That's coming up. Also, baseball. We do have a new team in the World Series. Who are they going to play? Who are the Nats get? Is it going to be the Astros or the Yankees? Game four was pushed back to today. We'll look at that game four preview. That's next on The Drive.
This is Sports 1140 KHTK. We do sports.
Good choice, Jay. Well done. Hey, by the way, everybody, get your birthday cards and presents ready for Jay. It's his birthday tomorrow. Lots of gifts coming your way tomorrow.
Lots of gifts.
Yes. Gifts.
GIFS.
Yes. Do you say GIF or GIF?
I'm a GIF guy.
Okay.
Definitely GIF.
The
think
GIF
about it.
Keeps on GIFing.
The word gift is GIFT.
Yeah.
Why would the word GIF not be GIF?
Yeah, and what's the peanut butter?
Exactly.
GIF.
I've never understood that debate. It's very simple.
Right. Seems straightforward to me.
Yeah.
Also straightforward, we're going to do this in the 6 o'clock hour. Win a pair of tickets to see the legendary Lynyrd Skynyrd come into Toyota Amphitheater. That's on October 19th, 2019.
Lenny Skinny.
For tickets and more information, visit cagetokay.com. So call in now at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll take caller number 5 as a big winner for those Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets. Back here on The Drive, reminder coming up in a little bit here, we're going to talk to Marcos Bertone about MLS and the Republic coming to Sacramento. Also, in just a few minutes, we'll get into the Buddy Hield controversy. It is a controversy at this moment, and the comments, you'll want to hear those coming up at the top of the hour. Let's check in with JR. Good morning, JR.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
How are you?
Good to see and smell you last night.
You got a little close, JR, but that was okay.
Yeah, I can see it's going to be exciting. And hey, CD, how about those Republic? Excited about the 2021 draft already.
Oh, hey,
the MLS draft.
Yes, sir.
Got to break it down.
Joe. Hey, real quick baseball question for you boys.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lim was, two sides, two World Series, two no-hitters. And then Madison Bumgarner, 3 World Series championship, 1 World Series MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do the Dodgers suck so bad in the playoffs? I'll take your answer off the air. I love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy.
What a setup. Hyping up Timmy Lincecum, Madison Bum in the last part. Why do the Dodgers fail?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the first two I can answer. The third, I would refer that to Jay Morris.
Oh, come on, it's his birthday tomorrow.
It is his birthday tomorrow, yeah. Which is why.
Today he can answer it?
Yes, today. Jay's got it.
The Dodgers question?
Yes.
First of all, JR, I'm not hoping this upon you, but if someone were to soil in your coffee, I would not be upset.
You know what? Isn't it just
good answer?
Thank you.
I think the simple answer is this: at the end of the game, they don't score more runs than the other team.
I can't even argue that as
right?
a Dodger fan.
Okay,
is that a factor?
I think it's a factor.
It's important.
I don't know if it's the factor, but yeah. It's up there, top 10.
Yeah,
it's a reason.
Yeah,
not an excuse.
Right,
it's a reason.
It's a reason.
Yeah.
Well, not just that they don't score as many as the other team. The other team scores more than them.
That could be a problem too.
Ooh.
That can be a factor.
Hot take cannon.
Yes.
I know sports guys.
Yeah, you do. All right.
Who will score more today in that ALCS game 4? So everybody, it was going to be a kind of a bullpen game yesterday,
yeah.
I think. They pushed it back. I don't know if there's any weather issues, but now, Dave, the one thing that's interesting with the Yankees and Astros is they're going to play today, tomorrow. If it goes all the way, they'll play Saturday and Sunday, no days off the rest of the way if it gets pushed to 7.
Trying to figure out who that, like, I know today kind of benefits, you know, Astros get their arms healthy and all that, but with no travel and possibly playing, so that would be what, 1, 2, 3?
4 in a row.
4 in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, as of now, I think the assumption is for the Astros, if we paint it for them, up 2-1, Greinke again today,
mm-hmm.
Verlander in Game 5 in New York, Cole in Game 6, they hope to be done and finished and moved
right,
on
right.
in some order there. But if there's a 7th game,
yeah,
probably an all hands on deck, but you've just used Cole, so he's probably out. Maybe Verlander can come back as a bullpen guy.
Sure.
Maybe he can go back to Greinke. I don't know.
I think really, truly, if, and never say never, and you always have to put that caveat, if the Yankees can't get to Greinke today, then the series is effectively over. I don't think you go down 3-1 and you beat both Cole and Verlander.
One would be in Houston.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be as optimistic and homer for the, I mean.
Sure.
That's Herculean if you do it.
Absolutely.
So.
It can happen.
Yeah.
But. You're down 3-1. You got a game in Houston, one of those two, and you're going against arguably the two best pitchers, or certainly two of the top 4 in baseball.
Bah. And it's fair to say, I think, Dave, that game 2 and game 3 when Verlander then Cole pitched, they were both kind of beatable,
they were.
And they didn't win either one.
Right. And that makes you wonder. So
yeah.
So is it like, well, ooh,
did they find something?
Did they find something, or is it you should have gotten
you
them
missed
there.
Your chance?
You missed your chance. And by the way, Greinke has looked gettable.
Greinke
has looked very gettable in the postseason. He gave up that 6 earned versus Tampa Bay, and then he came back and gave up 3 earned in 6 innings in that first start against the Yankees. Like,
yeah.
He's looked mortal.
Which I've then the narrative now is like, well, the Yankees will probably win today. Well, again, Greinke is still, he hasn't been great this postseason. What if he shoves it today and it goes 8 and gives up no runs and 2
then
hits?
Then you're done. I mean, then you're unless you're getting something crazy from Tanaka as
exactly.
well, then you're absolutely done. How about 18-5 for Greinke? And I just say that because 18-5 for Greinke on top of on top of what Verlander and Cole have done. That's just dumb.
Yeah. And then all of this, no matter what, game one of the World Series is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm saying this, but any chance the Nationals lose momentum?
Yeah, yeah. I think in baseball,
no matter who they play?
I think in baseball that's something you have to look at. Now, on one hand, you're thinking, okay, well, let's say the Astros and the Yankees. I think it could. I highly doubt it. If I had to pick right now, I would say Yankee or Astros in six.
Okay.
I feel like that's the highest percentage of what happens. Probably followed by Astros in five, Astros in seven. Then you get into Yankee situations. I feel like if you were ranking, just not emotionally, that's what it would be. So let's say it goes six, most likely. Well, now you're looking at just a couple days off, really, for Houston in that situation. And if it's the Yankees that come back and win, well, you're looking at less time off. And the Nationals have a chance to get everybody back up to full speed. Everybody has a full gas tank. But rust is a real thing sometimes, mm-hmm. and it just depends. You're going to have you're also, by the way, no matter who it is, you're going to have a Nationals team that has almost no World Series experience. And obviously the Nationals don't, but I'm sure there's a couple guys on that roster I can't look right now that have been there before. But you're talking nothing compared to if it's the Astros. Almost all of them have World Series experience.
Right.
These are real things.
Yeah.
And so that's why you look at if you're an Astros team, you feel good. Because you go, well, listen, they're going to throw out Scherzer or Strasburg, and if we can get them in game one, and they're a little bit choked off by the lights, and they're a little bit rusty, well, now we got one of their best, and we're sitting in the driver's seat.
Well, another thing that's real is the Kings wrapped up the preseason. They looked pretty good. We're all excited for the 35th season of Sacramento Kings basketball, but Buddy Hield and the Kings are not on the same page right now. You will hear Buddy's comments about his contract when we start the 7 o'clock hour of the drive. That's next.